Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench. Roy here with you until 7 o'clock. A busy show tonight, including reaction from Cork as they win the league by beating Galway.
Massive team performance. Everyone worked extremely hard for each other. We needed to put in a good team performance today, and that's exactly what we did. So, as I said, it will really stand to us now in 3 weeks going to win its championship.
Cork City Chairman Declan Carey will talk to us about the departure of John Caulfield.
It's an unbelievably difficult decision, and look, you know, this is the one we arrived at, and John Cotter now, and the backroom staff will take things on for the foreseeable.
Also on the show tonight, we'll talk to Avondale United as they prepare for the FAI Intermediate Cup final next weekend. We'll preview Cork and Tipperary with Cork legend Dermot O'Sullivan, and reaction from Donovan Ross's win today. Told you it was a busy one. We're here until 7 o'clock. 0868104106 is the place to get in touch with us via text or WhatsApp, or you can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. A lot to get through over the next hour. We'll be talking to Orla Finn and Martine O'Brien from the Cork camp very, very shortly indeed. First, we're just going to wrap up today's action. Everything that happened today, Cork beating Galway 112-27. That means that Cork are Division 1 champions for the 12th time. And reaction come very, very shortly there indeed from Parnell Park. In the first game today in the Division 2 final, Waterford defeated Kerry 5-13-1-17. In the Cork County Senior Football Championship, Donovan Rossa beating Ballincollig 12 points to 10. In the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship, Ahada defeating Cloyne 2-13-14 points. Meanwhile, in the Connacht Senior Football Championship, Galway heading across the water. They beat London 16 points to 1-9. Mayo in the Big Apple, they faced New York in the last day of the Connacht at Gaelic Park. That's at 7:15 Irish time. In the Premier League, Brighton have just equalised against Arsenal. Andrew Chill.
Arsenal 1, Brighton of Albion 1. Mass jubilation in the far corner of the ground among the Brighton fans at seeing their side come level in hugely controversial circumstances. Solly March went down very heavily after a very light tackle on him by Granit Xhaka, the Arsenal midfielder. There was minimal contact. March threw himself to the ground. The contact was on the back of his neck, really, and he threw himself to the ground. The referee pointed to the spot. Glenn Murray does not pass up that kind of opportunity. With the penalty, he scored. It's Arsenal 1, Brighton 1.
Elsewhere, Manchester United's hopes of Champions League football are over after they drew at Huddersfield Town. Derek Clark.
Full time, Huddersfield Town 1, Manchester United 1, and United's top four hopes are over for the season. Scott McTominay fired them into a first half lead, but Isaac Mbenza equalised on the hour mark after Jonas Lawson's long punt was missed totally by Luke Shaw. It allowed Mbenza to board down on goal and slide the ball past De Gea. Both sides could have won it later on. Pogba struck the bar while De Gea denied Grant at the other end. It's finished Huddersfield 1, Manchester United 1.
As things stand, Chelsea has secured Champions League football. Ian Beach at Stamford Bridge.
Chelsea 3, Watford 0. A vastly improved performance from Chelsea in the second half. Watford captain Troy Deeney had a header tipped onto a post in the first, but Chelsea scored twice in the first 5 minutes of the second. First a header from Ruben Loftus-Cheek and then another from David Luiz, both from corner routines, and Gonzalo Higuain completed the scoring with a lightly chipped third. Chelsea 3, Watford 0.
Elsewhere today in the Championship, Norwich City crowned champions after their 2-1 win over Aston Villa, and they go up as champions. Sheffield United promoted as well. They drew 2-2 with Stoke City. Derby County clinching the final playoff spot after their 3-1 win over West Brom. In the Munster Senior League, it's going to go right down to the wire. It's really, really exciting at the top of the table. Rockmount defeating Leeds 3-0 in the local derby today. It means that Rockmount go level on points with UCC at the top of the table. College, though, have a superior goal difference. That does not matter. Rockmount getting in touch with us today to say that it's a playoff if both sides finish level on points at the end of the season. In the Women's National League, Cork City losing out to Shelburne this afternoon. 7-2 was how that finished. In rugby, Cork Conn crowned All-Ireland League champions for the sixth time. They've beaten Clontarf Rugby 28-13 today. And in snooker, in the World Championship final, Judd Trump and John Higgins level at 4 apiece after the opening session. They'll resume again tonight at 7. And in American football, the Cork Admirals defeating the Dublin Rebels 23 points to 10 this afternoon. The Admirals are now 3-0 for the season. We are going to start the show with Gaelic games and that fantastic win for Cork today. 112-27, Cork crowned the champions for the 12th time. Orla Finn scoring 5 points, 3 from frees. She was named player of the match. She spoke to Colleen Duffy at the final whistle.
Orla, what a win. Hard work, determination, and for most of the 11 minutes towards the end, down to 13 players as well. That was hard won and well deserved.
Yeah, it was very tough coming towards the end. All right, and we were 2 players down, and we just had to work, put in that extra work, and play for each other, and try and hold on to the ball and work the clock down.
Need some hairy moments up front. Galway has some good defending, great saves as well, but she ploughed on and got those scores that were required.
Yeah, they had great defence. They brought back a blank defence, which made sure we patient with the ball and work it around and just take the score when the shot was on.
What does this mean? Because Cork have won so many, and I suppose you can't go 2 years without getting a hand on this cup anyway. That's been the way since the first win back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it means a lot to us winning this year after losing the semi-final to Mayo last year. You know, we had to drive it on again this year, and we came out at the start of the year, we didn't get off to a great start of the league, and thankfully we worked hard in the last few games and worked it to the final here today, and I think this match will really stand to us going forward as a championship.
You got the Lidl TG Carr player of the match today, 5 points, but I think I'm sure you said it on TV, anyone could have got it out there today. It was a real team performance.
Yeah, a massive team performance. Everyone worked extremely hard for each other. We needed to put in a good team performance today, and that's exactly what we did. So as I said, it will really stand to us now in 3 weeks going into championship.
And what about heading into the Munster Championship? Obviously it starts next weekend with Kerry against Waterford, and it's going to be very competitive in Munster before any talk of an All-Ireland series comes around.
Yeah, Munster Championship is always very tough. We won it last year, so hopefully we'll get back in and try and contend it again this year. But we'll have 2 massive games ahead of us against Kerry first in 3 weeks, and or Waterford first, and then we've Kerry the week after. So we'll have to put our heads down in training now for the next 3 weeks and drive it on.
Yeah, that's Orla Finn there speaking to Colleen Duffy at the final whistle today. Cork captain and goalkeeper Martine O'Brien pulling off some vital saves in this game, including a Galway penalty. She got a chance to speak with Colleen after.
Martina, what a game, what a result, really hard earned. You're really proud, I'm sure, to captain that side to a win. It's one of the hardest ones earned here in Parnell Park in the Little Ladies National Football League final.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Like, look, 2 points in the end, they really got our backs to the wall in the last 10 minutes there. 13 players against 15 at one stage. You know, I really think the fight out of the girls is really good. And look, that's really good to see, I suppose. You don't know how people are going to react until you're in that situation. So it's great that the girls just stood up there and to be counted, and we came out with the win.
What was going through your head when Galway were somewhat belatedly after winning a penalty? I mean, Maggie took her time, the referee, to give that decision. Then you had to stand up and make that save. And what a save it was.
To be fair, Maggie was giving the free. It wasn't. But anyway, look, it was a penalty. And look, I suppose Roisin has kicked better ones, to be fair. You know, she's top drawer. Like, she can kick balls where you see it today. She was kicking off the ground. It was unreal. I won't take credit for that, but look, we kept it out, and that was amazing.
It really lifted the team, though, and you moved 1-10 to 5 points ahead then. Cracking goal at the opposite end. Hard work started in defence. You know, teamwork really paid off today.
Yeah, it did, and I suppose we were just a little bit disappointed in the first half. We didn't do enough of that, especially, I suppose, coming out of the defence and our 45-45. But in the second half, you know, we just ran at it, and we worked really, really hard. And I suppose, look, we may have ran out a little bit of steam at the end, but we came good in the end, and I suppose that's the main thing.
And I think that resilience showed by defence went down to 13 players, 2 sin binnings in the last 11 minutes. Galway pressure came on, they got that goal, but she withstood a lot more pressure very well.
We did, in fairness, and girls stood up to take the ball. There was no one hiding, you know, and that's really positive, I suppose, because it's times like that in championship, in big games. Look, you could say All-Ireland semi-finals, quarter-finals, finals, that you know nobody to hide, and you know they'll have the confidence to take on the ball, and I suppose that's a real positive for us. So it, look, all around we're just delighted.
And reflecting back on the league, it's always nice to take silverware. But all the lessons learned during the league, I mean, you didn't come through it unbeaten. There were hard times as well, hard moments, and you bounced back in games. You know, all of that's going to stand you well going into the summer, into the championship.
Absolutely. Look, Galway gave us a schooling there in the first match, and we kind of had to really sit down and go, all right, we have a lot of work to do here if we want to not even get relegated. Do you know what I mean? But we went out, we won our next match, and I think Tipperary there, then we lost again, and that was a real turning point for us, I suppose. We had to really look at ourselves and say, look, we're not working hard enough, every single one of us. So we put the shoulders to the wheel, we worked really hard, everyone rode together, and we have, you know, we see it now at the end.
And just a word about the support today. I mean, it's about a half an hour now since he lifted that cup, and you know, there's a huge crowd here, loads of friends, loads of family, made that long journey up from Cork up here to Dublin to Parnell Park today.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, our parents are just our parents, family, friends. They'll follow us to the end of the world. Like if this match was up in Donegal, they'd come and follow us. Like, do you know what I mean? So we have huge, like, we thank them so much for doing it, and I know they love it as well. So look, we're delighted, I suppose, to give them the win. They came the whole way up from Cork to do. Look, I had neighbours there today that came up just to see the match and cheer us on. Like, they might not know a lot of the other girls, but they knew me and they came up, and like it's support like that drives you on, and when you see that at the end of the day, you're, you know, it's just, it's great.
A victory well earned, a victory well deserved. Congratulations, Martina, and enjoy the celebration.
Thank you very much.
Yes, certainly. Thanks. Well earned, really enjoyable game there in the end. Cork having to dig deep, especially down to 13, but they got there in the end. Thanks in no small part to a cracking goal from Saoirse Noonan. She had a great impact when sprung from the bench in the second half. Fantastic finish as well. You got to see this goal as well. It's on it's on our Twitter page. We're going to retweet it there, so if you want to see that goal, at Big Red Bench. Smashing finish from Saoirse Noonan. But she also spoke to Colleen at the final whistle.
Saoirse, what a win out there today. The excitement's still palpable. A very hard-earned victory.
Yeah, we knew it would be a tough game against Galway. They were well up for it, and we knew they would be. But I suppose big occasions, everyone's excited and everyone was looking forward to it. And I suppose we did perform on the day, not, I suppose, as well as we wanted to, because we knew that Galway were getting nearly 15 players behind the ball. But I think they brought it to the wire, and experience maybe won in the end.
I don't think you would have realised how crucial your goal was at the stage it came, because it put you 110 to 5 points ahead. You were firmly in command, but you knew that Galway were always going to come back at you.
Yeah, Galway have some phenomenal players, and we knew they were going to go to the very last second. I suppose no one would ever be relieved until Hooter goes off. But yeah, we took the goal. I think we took it well as a team. We tried to stay composed. They went down, they scored a rocket of a goal. They put loads of pressure on us really high up. But I think we coped it well, and we kept the ball, I think, for the last 2-3 minutes of the game, worked it well and didn't panic.
There was a great build-up to that goal, and I think it was Kira who gave you the pass in the end. Can you remember much about it?
Hey, yeah, I remember Kira running through, and she just seems like no player can get a hand on her. And once she breaks that line, I suppose we always do it in training, peel off, make that last pass. And I was just saying a while ago, she always says, give that last ball, so I knew she was going to give it. She's not a greedy player, and she's always eager to score, and I knew she'd pop it off to me, so just try to finish it then.
You've taken the league title, I think it's the 12th in 15 years, something like that. Obviously not that many medals for yourself personally, but it's a tremendous achievement. But other things that you could take from the league, the way you bounced back, you didn't come through the league with total wins, you had a few losses as well, you know, and you learned a lot from the league campaign, I'm sure, that you can take into the championship.
Yeah, we gave lots of players, every player got opportunity in the league, and I suppose that's what it's all about. It's about preparing ourselves for a championship, but at the end of the day, it's still a title and everyone wants to win. There's only this and the All-Ireland that you can win nationally, so it's an honour for us. Putting on this Cork jersey is always an honour, because you see all the superstars that have left and they're still here at the moment. It's my first league title, so I'm delighted. But yeah, it's every game's a big game. There's no more easy teams. Every game's hard. Every game's down to the last few minutes of the game. So I'm just happy to get on and make an impact.
Yeah, it's Saoirse Noonan there speaking after scoring the goal today. The decisive goal in the end, a smashing goal it was. If you want to see it, check out our Twitter page at Big Red Bench. Now, Colleen's also been in conversation with Cork boss Aoife Fitzgerald.
Efi, what a win. Hard work, resilience. Those girls have it in abundance and they paid off in the end.
Yeah, they have. Well, I think our aim at the start of the year was to create a panel that, you know, going forward. We were a bit scarce last year with numbers wise, but, you know, we were blessed. We got 4 or 5 of last year's minors. And I think they've, you know, Claire O'Shea, Emer and Dara Coyley, Laura O'Mahony, Saeed O'Leary, you know, they've been an absolute revelation for us all year. So we're absolutely thrilled. You know, and it's a national title, which they're precious no matter what anybody says. It's, you know, there's only 2 of them you can win, so we're absolutely thrilled, and we'll celebrate that one tonight, and then we'll get ready tomorrow for the Waterford Challenge, which will be fairly familiar. We're looking at them today and in 3 weeks' time.
I think people look at Cork and they say about everything that's been won, and this is a 12th title in 15 years, but as you mentioned, there's always talent coming through. All of those have now taken their first title, the likes of Saoirse Noonan also, and it's about progression for the future.
It is, and Saoirse has been out injured. She had a serious crucial injury there. She's been out for more than 5 months, but you know that goal was a touch of class again today. She just has so much skill, and I thought Emer Skelly today was absolutely excellent. But you go through them, Shauna Kelly, Hannah Looney. I mean, fullback is a new position for Hannah, and marking the girl as good as Roisin Leonard. I thought she did a fabulous job again today. So, you know, all in all, we have to be pleased. But we're a work in progress. You know, Dublin will still be the team to beat come championship, because they're big, strong, they're physical girls, they know to win matches, you know, and they have that experience. But you know, I suppose you can only beat what's in front of you, and like, you know, as I said, the league first was going to be a learning experience, but once we got a bit between our teeth, we drove on, and I think the Tipperary match was probably a turning game for us, and now we were disappointed with our performance that night. And after that, we played well against Mayo, Donegal, and twice against Dublin, and now today, I don't think today was our best performance, but at the same time, Galway are difficult to play against, and that they drop everybody off, and we had to be a little bit more patient. We had to be a little bit more patient than normal. It wasn't a free-flowing game in that sense. But, you know, I thought after Martini made a save for the next 20 minutes, you know, we scored 1-4, I think, and could have had another couple of goals. So, all in all, delighted with the win, and, you know, hopefully it all goes well for us going forward.
I think there's a couple of key things. As you mentioned, Martini's save, that 1-4 without reply, and building up that 1-10 to 5 points lead, I think it was. But also, too, the way your defence coped in general with this game, I thought was outstanding. And yeah, so often in games, I mean, Orla Finn got player of the match from TG Carr today, and so often in games, defences don't get the credit that they deserve, and that defence today was key, really.
I thought Shauna Kelly and Hannah Looney were absolutely excellent. Claire O'Shea playing in her first final. Like, she lives in Castletown Bear. She travels 200 miles for training. She's going to leave in a certain few weeks' time, and she's just as cool as a breeze. You know, I thought she acquitted herself so well today. The Coileys, you know, they're only kids, really. When you look at them, you feel very old, to be honest about it, looking at them. But what they are is they're very committed. They have, you know, massive will to win, and more importantly, they have a massive will to work to win. And I think that, you know, as I said, that's what we look for in our players. Like, the only thing I ever demand is that they work very, very hard, and you know, listen to what we're telling them. But like, when we have the ball, then they have a freedom to play as well. So all in all, we're absolutely thrilled. We'll enjoy tonight, as I say, because it's an important victory for us. And I would say congratulations to Galway as well. You know, they were the team of the league, really. Came up a bit short today, but you know, they'll be forced to be reckoned with in the championship again.
You mentioned Waterford, and I mean, Division 2, Division 1, it doesn't really matter. Tipperary, I mean, a team who've gone down to intermediate but played Division 1 football this year, held their own, got those 2 wins. It's brilliant to see. It's more and more competitive.
It is. Yeah.
And people in general outside of ladies football mightn't realise that, but it's getting harder and harder to win things, and the standards rising all the time.
The standards and the level of commitment needed to win things. You know, like, our girls always talk about winning choice. Like, it's a lifestyle choice, really. You know, we train 5-6 days a week. Well, certainly 4 collectively, maybe, and you know, and they'll train twice themselves. So, you know, the amount of effort and time that girls need to put into this. But you know what? The benefit you get out of it. Like, we have a lot of girls who would be high achievers academically and would be in very responsible jobs. So, you know,
in Canada during the week, of course.
Yeah, and, we had one in Canada, yeah. And Mourne Abbey had a trip away last week, so those girls were in training for us. But they trained hard while they were away, you know. So that's the kind of commitment you get from these girls. And we're absolutely thrilled, as I say, to bring another title back to Cork.
Can you even get personal satisfaction moments after these games as well, or does it take maybe in those winter months when you look back and you see what girls are achieving and what they've done, and a lot of what you've just talked about there as well?
No, it's just personal satisfaction. I've seen them develop, but on and off the field, to be honest about it, I'd be very much into that, you know, that we're doing the best we can from a lot of the girls are in college, and you know there's a lot of stuff going on there, like, so you know my job is more or less is looking at you know, their welfare in a sense, on and off the field. I think, you know, as you get older and you have kids yourself, and the kids some of these girls age, or you know, you're always looking to see if you can do anything to help them in terms of their academics, or their, you know, facilitate them in everywhere we can. So all in all, but like when you have the likes of Martina, who we've here with us there, like they drive it on really. Martina's been around the block a long time, and you know, and again, you know, herself and Ciara would be the, you know, the two elder states girls of the team at this stage, but they're absolutely phenomenal in their training. Like, she travels 60 miles a night, and she has her own business to be looking after. So like, you know, it's just because I live in the city, so you know it's very easy for me. But there is massive pride in them. I win, lose or draw, I have great pride in them, because they're just special girls, and they're absolutely a joy to work with.
Special girls, special moments, league champions. Well done, Aoife.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you.
Yeah, always great to hear from Aoife Fitzgerald. Always speaks with such pride and passion about being the Cork manager, and a fantastic win today. Congratulations indeed to Cork from everyone here at Cork's Red FM. Right, just before we go move on, Arsenal and Brighton level at a goal apiece into time added on. There we get to the full time report on that one in just a bit. But as I'm sure you well know, it's been an interesting week, a difficult week for everyone involved at Cork City FC, following the departure of John Caulfield on Wednesday, and then the appointment of John Cotter the following day as interim manager. Things definitely picking up though on Friday with that 1-0 win away to Bohemians. Now, earlier on today, Cork City Chairman Declan Carey called in to me to discuss John Caulfield's departure, John Cotter's appointment, the process that they will now follow for the appointment of the new manager, their targets for the rest of the year, and more. All right, we're joined in studio by Cork City Chairman Declan Carey after what's been an incredibly long and, I suppose, difficult week for the club, resulting in John Caulfield's departure from Cork City, the appointment of John Cotter as interim manager, and getting the first win in nine games against Bohemians. Declan, first off, personally, I'd imagine for you it's been probably the longest week of your life.
Yeah, well, I guess you hit the nail on the head there. Look, everyone knows that, you know, all of us on the board, we're all volunteers, we're all Cork City supporters, lifelong City fans. You know, we were all elected to the board to do a job, yeah, on behalf of the members. So, you know, it's a job that comes with great responsibility. And look, everyone knows what happened this week with the club. John Caulfield and the club parted ways on Wednesday morning. Look, just want to start off myself personally to say, look, there's no bigger legend involved with Cork City FC than John Caulfield as a player and a manager. Look, his accolades as a player first and foremost, and then when he came into the club 5 years ago with, you know, I think it's safe to say back then with very little expectation, brought us straight back into Europe, which was unbelievable for the club at the time. You know, we've been in Europe every year since. You know, 4 second place finishes, league title, 2 FAI Cups, number of President's Cups, Munster Senior Cups. You know, everyone's you know, extremely grateful for the job John's done over the last 5 years. Can't say that enough.
And given all that, I'd imagine arriving at the decision to part ways with him must have been an incredibly hard one to arrive at.
It was, yeah. Now look, there's 6 of us currently on the board. I was elected to the board at the beginning of 2018, and yeah, look, we had 5 new board members who came in January. Look, we're all professionals here. You know, as I said, we are volunteers, but we deal with things unbelievably professionally. You know, we look into all aspects of the club and what kind of an impact a decision like this would make, what kind of an impact not making the decision would make. You know, we look at a number of things like data, financials, obviously the form of the first team, feedback from supporters, members. You know, we've had many board meetings discussing, you know, various avenues that the club could go over the next 1, 2, 3 years. And yeah, as you said, look, it's an unbelievably difficult decision. And look, you know, this is the one we arrived at. And yeah, look, John Cotter now, and the backroom staff will take things on for the foreseeable. And you know, as you said there earlier, a win on Friday night, so things are things are looking up again. Yeah,
was the decision arrived at after the draw between Harps and Monday?
Yeah, look.
And was it kind of like the decreasing crowds as well? Was that a big factor?
Yeah, I guess it's a combination of everything, Rory. Look, there's no, you know, it'd be unfair to say, you know, we could just pinpoint an exact moment when, you know, we decided to sit down with John and have discussions on this. You know, look, obviously the draw against Finn Harps at home was quite disappointing. You know, the supporters were quite vocal after that game as well. And yeah, you know, look, we sat down with John on Tuesday night then, you know, and we had an open conversation about things. And look, yeah, came to an agreement then on Wednesday morning. You know, everything was very amicable. You know, we still have unbelievable respect for John. And look, he's welcome back to Turner's Cross. Of course, we expect to see him in the stands cheering the team on.
Are there supporters out there who will feel that John maybe deserved the right to try and turn things around given his record at the club?
Yeah, look, that's fair enough as well, and it's something we obviously thought about. And, you know, as you said, John's been unbelievably successful over the last number of years. But look, I think the time was right for John to part ways with the club at this time. As I said, it was a difficult decision. But look, I think now with, you know, looking forward with John Cotter in charge now, he's worked under John for a number of years. As you said to yourself yesterday, he's got a number of his own ideas about how he can change things up a bit. We also had conversations with John when we spoke to him about, you know, taking up the interim role as manager, and he was eager to get, you know, other club legends involved, like Colin Healy, who's running our academy at the moment as well, Alan Bennett, who'd been helping with the under-13s coaching, and he's a club legend in his own right who's still playing, but yeah, he's joined now as assistant manager. And we think, yeah, with the existing team that was there, Liam Kearney, Kevin Tatton, Lisa Fallon, you know, they can definitely, you know, bring the club back up the table very quickly, and we're confident in that as well.
There's been a lot of talk of budgets over, I suppose, the entire season, and that the perception is out there that Cork City's budget was remarkably decreased from last year, and that maybe contributed to the on-the-field performances this year.
Yeah, look, probably, look, I'm not going to say I didn't read all of the different reports online. This has been going on for the last, I think, maybe 6 months or so. There was a general meeting among Forest members, I think it was back in September, and there was early discussions then about what our budget would look like for 2019. There was a figure thrown out there which was incorrect, or was subsequently incorrect, about how our playing budget would be reduced. I think looking at it from our budget from 2018 to 2019, our first team budget was only reduced by about maybe 4 to 5%. You know, obviously we've went from the Champions League down to the Europa League from 2018 to 2019, so that took us you know, a drop of prize money somewhere around the 550,000 region. But look, we manage things as a club. It is one club after all. It's not just all about one team, but you know, to minimise the impact to the first team budget, we, you know, drastically increased our targets in terms of merchandise, marketing, sponsorship, fundraising especially as well. So, you know, in terms of the first team budget itself, it didn't take too much of a hit from you know, the prior years. Even looking at 2017 when we did win the double, it's even significantly higher than that. So look, yeah, it's that's something we'll discuss with our members as well. We have a general meeting on the 25th of May in the Metropole, so hope as many Forest members as possible can come out to that one, and we'll we're happy to discuss more about the financial positions of the club at the moment. But you know, as you said, it was, definitely saw a lot of reports over the last number of weeks about you know, budget cuts per se, but yeah. I don't think we cut anything really. Obviously the club has, you know, went through a number of restructures, and you know, we've brought in Paul DC now to help with the commercial aspect, Dave O'Rourke with the merchandise, and you know, Paul Witcherly manages an off the field team as well to try and deliver as much as we can off the field to, you know, help the first team, help the academy, and you know, try and drive the club on.
Was John Cotter your only choice to be the interim manager?
Yeah, look, John, as I said, he's been working under John. He knows the players. He knows the club through and through as well. He's a former player himself. And look, we had conversations with John throughout Wednesday. And yeah, look, he was eager to take up the role. You know, obviously he mentioned that he was very loyal to John, as he said yesterday. John brought him to the club, and he did learn an awful lot from John himself, especially through his Avondale days as well. But, you know, John said he has his own ideas. And, yeah, look, we were impressed with the plans he had. Wanted to bring in Alan Bennett as the assistant manager and Colin Healy to the first team staff as well. You know, things seem to be working so far anyway, you know, 100% record. I know we've got a huge game on Friday against UCD. You know, I think the lads had one training session before the boys game, and, you know, to go up there to Dalymount and get the 1-0 win was huge, especially for us as a club. And I think, you know, with the game now next Friday, hopefully, you know, the whole of Cork will come out and support the lads. They're Cork through and through, they're Cork City through and through. We've got a number of Cork lads, you know, who've come up now to our academy recently, a couple of young players. You know, if the people of Cork can just get behind the team now, and, you know, yeah, we are in a difficult place now at the moment in the table, but that can change very quickly with a couple of wins on the board, and, you know, everyone get behind the lads, and that can be a huge motivating factor in itself.
What's the time frame for appointing a permanent successor? Is this something you want to do immediately? Is it something you want to do before Europe? Is it something you want to do at the end of the season?
Yeah, look, we spoke to John about this as well. Obviously, he's on his pro licence course, and look, we do have licensing restrictions with the FAI and UEFA to have a coach with a pro licence appointed within a certain time. Look, we're looking into that as well. You know, there's a couple of different options on the table. We could, you know, potentially appoint someone with a pro licence soon. Or we could potentially look at a longer term option and another kind of interim solution in the meantime. We're discussing that now, and look, we'll have a board meeting this week to try and figure out what the best avenue forward is. But yeah, certainly by you know, obviously the start of next season, we'll be certainly looking to have a, you know, a full time management team in place, whatever that may look like. You know, John Cotter's in the job now at the moment. You know, we're very confident, and he is himself of his own ability. And yeah, we're hopeful that, you know, we can get up the table as quickly as we can, and look at the board and our general manager will work in the background then about the recruitment of a longer term first team manager. And we'll be constantly assessing things as we go.
And potentially seeing this as kind of an audition for John Cotter to get the job on a full time basis.
Oh yeah, look, you know, I'm not going to pretend it isn't. Like, John is in the job at the moment. He's in an interim role, as we say. Look, we hope John does the best job he possibly can. And yeah, most definitely, you know, it is the best audition he could possibly imagine for in doing the job. Yeah,
yeah, certainly is. And as you mentioned, look, back to Turner's Cross on Friday, the crowds had dwindled to 1600 against Finn Harps last Monday. So you'd be hoping, given the win over Bowes, John's appointment, that the crowds would be going up. This starting on Friday.
Yeah, look, as I said there, you know, we really need the people of Cork now to come back out and start supporting the team. You know, the club is, you know, made up of dozens of volunteers. All of our staff are, you know, from Cork. The management team now from Cork as well. Cork, just come out and support the lads. And, you know, we've got a great offer as well for the UCD game. Bring a friend for a fiver, so any adult season ticket holders can bring a buddy to the game for €5. You know, you won't get much entertainment in Cork on a Friday night for a fiver. So, yeah. Look, aside from that, you know, it's a new fresh look for the backroom team. It's a kind of a restart for our season as such. So look, you know, come out on Friday night and support the lads. It's, you know, you won't be disappointed.
Certainly won't. All right, Declan, I really appreciate you coming in. Thanks very much for talking to us and explaining everything that happened in the week.
Thanks, Roar. Cheers.
Yes, Declan Carey there joining us to discuss what has been a very, very difficult week for the club. But as Declan said there, it's time to get out and support the team starting on Friday against UCD at Turner's Cross and get the fans back in the gate. Thanks, Declan, for coming in earlier on today. A text to 086 810 4106. Can you send a massive shout out to the Cork United Under-12 Schoolboys League Soccer team, who beat the Dublin and District Schoolboys in Dublin today in their All-Ireland semi-final. Well done, lads. Please give a special mention to Barry O'Connell and Matthew Moore from Carrigaline United. Always great to beat the Dubs.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Rory here with you until 7 p.m. Just got a tweet in a short time ago from Terry, who said, congratulations to European karate champion Chris McCarthy from Blarney, who won Ireland's first WKF Youth League bronze medal in Limassol in Cyprus yesterday. His twin brother Sean beaten into fifth position by Egypt. Great performance from both boys. That's from Terry. So congratulations indeed to Chris on picking up not bad, that bronze medal in Cyprus yesterday, and to Sean, who finished in fifth place. All right, it's going to stick with football, and a big, big week ahead for Avondale United as they return to the FAI Intermediate Cup final. They take on Crumlin United at the Aviva Stadium. What a setting, next Saturday afternoon. Dave Kiley and Owen Lockheed from Avondale called into me earlier on today.
Big occasion now for us. It's kind of the pinnacle of our level at intermediate level. So looking forward to now, yeah.
And Dave, seven-time champions, of course, Avondale, over the course of their history, so you're no stranger to the competition.
Yeah, record holders of the Cup. Been 5 years since we were in the final. It's been too long for us. Mm. It's been too long for someone from Cork football as well to be up there. So it's important for us, it's important for the MSL. Mm. No bigger occasion.
Well, talk to us about the season you've had so far, I suppose.
It's nearly been a hit or miss season for us, really, with the league form being absolutely rubbish, and then our cup, like nearly every cup we're in so far anyway, we're still in the FAI Senior Cup. We won the Keane Cup. We got beaten in the Dorney Ford final, or was that the other way around, was it?
Beaten
by Ringman, and we're still in the Beamish Cup, still in the O'Connell Cup, so we've a lot to play for still, but our league form has just been absolutely terrible. So maybe over the next four games we'll try and push up the table, try and stay safe. Mm. As well, obviously Leeds are battling. I know they got beaten this morning, but yeah, hopefully we'll battle away and get ourselves safe at least anyway. Yeah. You know,
any idea why the league form has been so patchy, Dave? Is it just because all the cup competitions kind of catching up?
Yeah, there's no one reason. Like, I think we lost our very first three, which put us in the back foot. Probably didn't have our squad or team built at that point yet. There's still a few new signings came in that made a bit of a difference to us. Since then we've lost a few as well. Obviously it's not been acceptable really by our standards, but you know, bit of luck goes against you in football. And you know, we're not being well beaten by teams. Teams are getting the odd goal against us, and it's just you find yourself in a bit of a rut there sometimes, you know.
Mm. As you were mentioning, 5 years since you've been last in the final. That was, of course, the last of the four in a row. Were you both involved in all the four in a row?
That was my first year with Avondale.
2014.
Was the fourth, but I actually missed the final through injury that time. Mm. I broke my foot there a few weeks beforehand. Owen has plenty of winners' medals, I think.
Yeah, this will be my seventh final.
Wow.
So I've five winners at the moment. I'm trying to catch David Spratt and Dave O'Keefe. Dave to save. They both have six. So
yeah,
it'd be nice to try and top that level that anyway. Like,
and lads, getting to play in the Aviva Stadium as well, it's going to be an incredible moment.
Go on, John.
I don't want to come across as not being grateful for the opportunity we get to play in the Aviva. It's a big showpiece.
Yeah.
Etc. But I think that's more for the club as a whole, the supporters on the day, the people who look up for the big day in the Aviva. You know, it's about the medal, and the trophy is what I want. I think I can speak for all my teammates when I say that, and the management. We've our eyes on the gold medal and the prize. You know, I suppose it's not like I've played in big stadiums over the years, played in many League of Ireland grounds around the place. As soon as the whistle goes, you don't really know where you're playing. The game is on and that's it. If I'm being honest, I think there's probably a bit too much been made about the venue from the player's point of view. Yeah, that's just my honest opinion. That doesn't matter to me where the final is played.
Do you be the same one?
Yeah, it would be the same. Listen, again, like, it is a great venue, but it's the old cliche, like, you'd like to win the medal and play in the car park there outside, you know. Listen, I suppose it's just like Dave, like, it's nice to play in all different stadiums as well, like, don't get me wrong, but there is a massive emphasis on the Aviva. Like, I think fellas like even mention it in, you know, the first round of it, like, people are the road to the Aviva and stuff like that, like. Mm. But realistically, like, I'm kind of more about records and stuff like that. Like, I want the most intermediate cup medals, I want the most intermediate cup, you know, appearances. Mm. Like, I presume that's the same with, like, fellas scoring goals, you know, fellas keeping clean sheets or whatever. Like, I think that people are more kind of, like, individual records more so than, like, where stadiums are played or whatever. I think medals are most important too, especially to Avondale anyway. Like, and I know around other clubs as well. Like,
yeah. It obviously depends how the day goes. I mean, we come away with the winner's medal next Saturday and then it becomes, that was an unbelievable day in the Aviva.
Mm.
You know, winning, it's something you want to forget straight away.
Yeah, certainly so. Crumlin United, the opposition, they won the Intermediate Cup in 15 and 16. Very, very strong opposition on.
Yeah, listen, we came across them good few times over the years. We've had good battles with them of late. Unfortunately, they got the better of us in maybe it was a 15 and 16. They probably got the better of us around that time anyway as well. Listen, we owe them one. They beat us in a final as well back in 2010, which obviously it's in the back of my mind because I played in that as well. Like, you know, it's nice to get a bit of revenge, obviously, for that. Just another few lads that were involved there as well, like, you know, Hoggy and Kenny was even involved, our manager, like, you know what I mean? And it doesn't sit too well with us, like, losing any finals, like, doesn't sit well with us. So it'd be nice to get one up on them anyway this year as well.
And like, have the management team been able to see much of them, or is it kind of just you kind of go up there and just play the game?
I think they've been to watch them a couple of times, as you'd expect any management team to be doing the research. But you know, this is non-league football; it's amateur, so fellas' timetables and they've other things going on. So you know, you don't get a chance to go up and watch them week in week out. I haven't heard, but I presume, you know, we've probably people in Dublin who are probably doing a bit of information searching for us as well, you know. But
and realistically, we had to kind of put it nearly to the back of our mind as well. So it'll be this week now where we will be getting information on them. We'll be told about their style of play, what we will do to either counteract it or, you know, or even our own tactics and stuff like that. That will, for the final, like, we'll really kind of start building for the final. Like, we're training 3 days this week. We're going up on Friday, like, so there'll be, we'll have enough talk done by the time the first whistle goes anyway, you know.
And Dave, as you mentioned, it's a huge day for the club as a whole. I mean, I can imagine kind of almost every Avondale member will be up there on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been playing 2 or 3 games a week the last couple of weeks. It's usually the way it gets it once in league football. This time of year, we had a match yesterday, you know, so we haven't really had a lot of time to focus on it. But you still hear the chatter. You still know that there's bus loads going, there's train loads going. You know, we know that it's a massive doubt for the club. And as I say, it is a type of day for the supporters, for the people who do the hard work in the background, you know, the committee members, people like that, the fundraising side of things. It's their day really as well, you know.
Certainly is. And as you mentioned, like, you've played in so many intermediate cup finals. I mean, like, does your approach, does your preparation in that week change? Do you get nervous going into a final like this?
I think you wouldn't be a human being if you didn't get nervous, like, but you have to channel it the right way, you know. And you know, listen, it's some fellas' first ones, you know, they might be particularly nervous, but I certainly get nervous as well. Like, I get nervous at any occasion, really, like, you know, like any kind of big match, really, like. But you must try and calm your nerves, try and channel your energy the right way, and try and focus in training, and you know, and do all you can, really. And then it's just as Dave said, once the first whistle goes, just all guns blazing then, like, you know.
Would you be confident, Dave?
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you look at our form in this competition this year, we've been very impressive against really good opposition. We got past Middleton, Rockmountain, Cove Wanderers, as well as from IM Mayfield and Leaside. You know, a couple of those things are challenging for the Munster League Premier title at the moment. So we're down to 10 men against Rockmount for a good period of that game, and we never looked like we were threatened. We do have the big game in us. This competition certainly brings out the best in us. I look around the dressing room there, I see the fella sitting on my left, my right, and yeah, I'm confident.
You?
Yeah, I'm the same. Listen, Crumlin are a mighty team, like, you know, I don't think they've been beaten very much. They won their league there, they won the Leinster Senior League there last week. So it's going to be a tough challenge, and probably our toughest this year. But as Dave says, like, this competition has brought the best out of us over the years. You do look around the dressing room. I haven't done the tot up on the medals. We're trying to do it outside there. We started, but we only got halfway through. But there's definitely like 20 or 20 plus medals inside the dressing room. I wouldn't be surprised if it was even up around 30 inside the dressing room between us all. You know, there's Carl Caulfield is 4, Hoggy is 4, Podge has, our goalie is 3, Marky Sull even, like, you know, he is like 3 or 4 probably. Maybe 5 even, yeah. But like, so, you know, there's just fierce experience, like Hughie Donovan, there's around years in the club. I couldn't speak highly enough of the dressing room, and the fellas are in the dressing room, real leaders. And so I'd be confident, really, like, you know, with the players and the team that we have. And especially, look, Kenny has put in some work over the year. He's obviously going to have his homework done as well. Over the past 3 years, really, he's brought a different little approach to the game as well, trying to get us playing a bit more football than before. Like, so it's nice he brings new ideas as well, so that will give us confidence as well, you know.
As we wish you the very best. Like, actually, while I have the your former manager John Cotter appointed interim Cork City boss during the week, it's a massive opportunity for him, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, I was under John for the 3 years. We were very, very, very successful under John. We went 48 games unbeaten with him. We won 3 intermediate titles in a row, 2 leagues in a row, and loads of cups. We won 6 cups 1 year. He's an absolute outstanding guy. His drive is something else. Like, he lets you know if you put your foot out of line as well. Like, he rules with an iron fist at times as well, but he's a real good bloke. And listen, from us in the club, and I know we'll wish him all the best anyway. Like, and also my buddy Alan Bennett, like, which is, he goes in with him, and Colin Healy. It'd be great to see them do well. They look like a good team, and all their backroom staff and stuff like that, so it'd be great to see them do well.
All right, lads, very best luck on Saturday. We'll see you up there.
Cheers, Rory. Thank you.
Cheers.
Yes, Dave Kiley and Owen Lockheed of Avondale United. Very best luck indeed to them against Crumlin United next Saturday at the Aviva Stadium. We will be there, and we'll have all the best reaction on next Saturday's show. Steve's been in touch. He says, will you congratulate the Everton Junior Premier team, who this morning beat Avondale 1-0 in a winner-takes-all game to secure the Junior Premier Division title for the first time in 26 years, Billy Kadima, with the all-important goal. Congratulations to Everton. Fantastic, fantastic club for Everton. And congratulations on the win today, and enjoy the celebrations. Right, Arsenal have finished 1-1 with Brighton. That means that Chelsea have secured Champions League football for next season. It means Tottenham have all but secured Champions football for next season. Arsenal are 3 points behind Tottenham. However, Tottenham have a better goal difference of 8 heading into their final fixtures next Sunday. Arsenal are away to Burnley, and Tottenham host Everton in the last game of the season next week. So looks like Tottenham have secured Champions League football, but that has to be confirmed next week. All right, going to talk Gaelic Games, and Kieran's been speaking with Paddy Powers, GAA ambassador, Cork legend Dermot O'Sullivan, ahead of the Munster Senior Championship clash of Cork and Tip next Sunday.
Delighted to be joined online by Dermot O'Sullivan, the Paddy Power GAA ambassador. Dermot, welcome to the Big Red Bench.
Hey, Kieran, how's it going?
Big, massive game for Cork against Tip and Páirc Uí Chaoimh on the 12th of May. Cork maybe not having the league they would have wanted. Tip a bit stuttery under new manager Liam Sheedy. How would you see it going?
Look, you're right. Cork were patchy enough throughout the league, but, you know, again, without bringing back up without covering all ground, you know, they were up to find strength and depth in their squad. So, you know, you can excuse some of their performances maybe. Tipperary's form was not much better, to be honest with you. So, look, throw the league form out the window. This is probably one of the oldest rivalries in the game of hurling. It's raw. It's probably unapologetic. Like, there are a couple of words you could probably use to describe it. And that's what it's going to be on the 12th. Cork Tipperary down the park in the Munster World Championship game. You know, it's not for the faint-hearted.
What do you think of Liam Sheedy going back into Tip? Is it working so far, or is it just they're trying to find their feet?
Look, I suppose there's going to be a transition for a while. You know, new manager Queen, obviously, Liam is in there, he's brought in Eamon and O'Shea to do bits and pieces for him. Like, there's a change over there, right? So, but if you're a Tipperary man, right, and you've come in there as a manager, given the opportunity again after bringing through all Ireland success, where would you want to start your campaign?
Yeah,
it's a red rag to a bull from. They're going to Cork to play Cork in a Munster Senior Hurling Championship game. I don't think they could have asked for a better game to start with. So, you know, Cork will really, really need to be on guard, regardless of the form Tipperary have shown. That's gone out the window now. Cork really need to protect themselves and be very, very clever on the 12th.
Like you said, red rag to a bull, I suppose, and Tip coming down to Cork, and the Cork Munster champions, there's no better place to beat them, I suppose.
Well, like, any Tipperary man with that number under the left hip, should we say, coming to Cork will relish this opportunity, relish a chance. So it's going to be a massive, massive game to start the summer.
Yeah, last year, obviously, very exciting. Munster Championship, the new format, game after game. We'd be expecting the same this year.
Oh, wouldn't we love it? Wouldn't we actually? Like, as hurling people, wouldn't we love a summer of hurling that we got last year. Can players meet our expectations? We're all hoping they can. You know, that's not just the Cork or Tipperary game. That's Clare, that's the Limerick, that's the Waterford, that's the Galway, that's Kilkenny. We need these players to excite and light up the championship from the early stages, so it'll keep us in thrall throughout the summer, because as we know, the summer, the period is shortening, and we're getting less time to see these players. We're seeing them over a shorter space of time, so let's enjoy them while they're out there.
Yeah. Cork had a big problem last year with losing leads and teams coming back. Do you think that was rectified over the league? I know Championship's a different ball game, but obviously you have to work on things during the league as well.
Yeah, look, I think it's something to be aware of. You know, John and his team will be clever enough to sit down and review and see how these games are getting away from them. So they'll have contingency plans in place that if Cork are lucky enough maybe to build a lead, and you know, they'll have plans in place to try and protect that lead while still winning the game in a comfortable manner. You know, you trying to defend and attack and win the game all, you know, trying to find that balance, I suppose, is going to be key.
Yeah, anyone impressed you so far in the league campaign for Cork?
No, I suppose, look, there was a lot of hurling and fits and start.
Yeah.
You know, you could pick out a few, but I suppose, look, the most encouraging factor for me over the last number of weeks is we know there's been a lot of, you know, the first round of the club hurling championships have been played. And if you look particularly at the guys you'd expect to start in the Cork forward line Sunday, they were all very dominant for their clubs. They were all prominent. They were all putting up big scores. That's a huge plus. Whereas guys would be expecting to be defending in the defence, you'd read reports of the game, all excel in their respective positions and for their respective clubs. So, look, that's a positive. That's championship hurling. That's a pace where they probably have to still come up 20-25% on the 12th. But at least we know there's form there. Guys are re-energised. They've put in massive performances for their club, and hopefully they can come as a collective in the 12th and put in a big shift against Tipperary.
Yeah, two new lads on the panel, or they're after being brought into the panel by John Myler, Chris and Niall O'Leary, both playing well with UC. Chris coming to the fore for UCC a number of times in the Fitzgibbon, and playing well for Valleys last week as well.
Yeah, a good player. Look, I think I earmarked him too during the latter stages, or the early stages of the league. I think we had a conversation. Well, I think Chris O'Leary has a lot to offer. The guy is 6'4". He's hurling for a big man is exceptional. He definitely has something to offer the squad. You know, there's a solidity about him, and as you said, he's very comfortable on the ball. Niall O'Leary, funny enough, I had him under 16 when I was with the development squads. Good lad. Prominent for McKinley over the last number of years. So, look, these are young lads willing to hurl who've the capabilities of pushing on to the next level. So let's see where they go.
Yeah, one man who's going to be back, Seamus Harnedy. Obviously, important to have your captain there. I'm sure, look, they're all captains in their own right, and you know, but Seamus Harnedy is the man with the armband per se. It's good to have him back.
Absolutely. Look, you want your best players on the biggest day, and like, if you ask me, Seamus Harnedy's up there probably in the top 5 hurlers in the country. You want your best players on the biggest days, regardless whether he's captain or not. What he brings to the Cork team, you know, it's in the role he's asked to play. He's, you know, he's a special, special type of player. And again, look, if Cork are to have a big summer and a big year, they'd be looking to Seamus week in, week out to put in big performance. So, yes, it's important to have him, but, you know, he's only an individual who would be part of a big collective effort down the park.
Yeah, one man who knows Seamus well enough, I suppose, Kilkenny man Sean Clare. He's down to referee the game again. He's been not fast track, but he is going up the referee ladder, and you could see him refereeing All Ireland final soon. But
he has been pushed up. But look, just, you know, in relation to that, Seamus knows he was wrong. You know, as they say, the dogs in the street know what he was wrong. So Seamus accepts his punishment. It's a red card offence. Look, everyone knows the rules. Everyone's aware of them. We mightn't all agree with him at times as well, you know.
Yeah.
But, look, it was a red card offence. It's dealt with. It's put away. You know, I believe if Cork get a good run, Seamus will end up probably in the top 3 hurlers. Now, he'd put him in the top 5 at the moment. He'd be in the top 2 or 3 hurlers by the time this championship is over.
One thing that kind of was a big talking point during the league, actually I think it was one of the first games in the league, was the pitch in Parky Cueve, that it was dug up so badly during that doubleheader, the match against Wexford, I think it was. Now, they've been doing remedial work on it. I don't know if you've seen it in the meantime, but Tracy Kennedy's come out and said, yeah, very happy with it, people have tested it, it looks good, but... that's obviously, well, whether it's concerning or not, I don't know, but we don't want it to be a talking point again, I imagine.
No, definitely not. Look, I think, again, look, once the issue was raised ahead a while ago, it was important to give these people the opportunity to sign, to go in and get this thing right. Look, there's been assurances made that, you know, they have it in good health, so fair play to them. And look, as you said, let's not make it a talking point. If it does win the tear up, let's hope we get a brilliant spectacle and we won't have to talk about it.
Yeah, so, like, can you call it? I know it's hard to call these, but...
It is hard to call because obviously it's the first day out, right? But look, as I said, it's a Cork-Tip rivalry. Cork and Munster champions, Tipperary coming to Cork. Cork will look to build on last year. They need to get out of Munster. Obviously, first will be by the champions route, but by the Munster final route or finishing third position, you know, they need to get out of Munster to take that extra step. So look, I would looking at the form of the Cork forwards over the last couple of weeks in the championship, I would expect that look Cork will win the game.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first. Well, look, we're expecting an exciting game to kick off the Munster Senior Hurling Championship in Parky Cueve. So, Dermot O'Sullivan, Paddy Power GM Ambassador, thanks very much for joining us on the bench.
No matter, Kieran, thank you. Anytime.
Always a pleasure to hear from the legendary Dermot O'Sullivan, speaking to Kieran there ahead of next week's championship opener. It's the start of the summer, the Munster Senior Hurling Championship getting underway next Sunday. And of course, for all the best reaction, be sure and tune in to the Big Red Bench next Sunday evening, where fingers crossed, we will be talking about a Cork win over Tip. All right, that's pretty much it from us for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for listening to The Bench on this bank holiday Sunday evening. Hope you're having a good weekend. Hope you enjoyed the bank holiday Monday tomorrow. Hopefully the weather's decent enough as well. Our podcast will be online, redfm.ie, very, very shortly, and on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench as well. We are back next Saturday from 6 p.m. Alan Donovan is up next with Green on Red. 3 hours of the best Irish music coming away right here on Cork's Red FM. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, folks, and I'll talk to you next Saturday.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.